I know I will see my friends again, because of course, all dogs go to heaven.
Welcome to the Telling It Our Way podcast. I'm Becca.
And I'm Allie.
In this podcast, we bring you stories by disabled people about disabled people. Stories from the daily lives of self-advocates with intellectual and developmental disabilities.
These are real people with complicated lives. They don't want your pity, and they don't exist to inspire you.
Yeah, this is not inspiration porn. Hey, Allie.
Hey, Becca. I was wondering, it's been a little while since I've been to your house. How many non-human animals, pets, would you say you have living in your home at this moment?
Oh my gosh, this is a dangerous topic, Allie, because like any good pet owner, I could spend all day telling you all about my pets and how they are the most perfect animals in the entire world, and nobody can tell me differently. And so I have a dog named Hambone. He is the light of my life. I have a cat named Kiff. And then my sister, who lives with us, also has two cats, Jack and Jim. Why do you ask?
I'm just curious. Today, we have a show all about non-human animals and our relationships to them as disabled people. Our first storyteller shares with us her experience adopting older dogs, the kind of dogs she talks about as being overlooked or ignored in favor of the younger, cuter options.
Allie, have you ever adopted an older dog or a sick dog, thinking that you might not have them for very long?
You know, I have. My partner and I were in grad school when these two bonded dogs landed on our doorstep from her extended family, and they could no longer be cared for by them. And we took them in, and one was like a Cairn Terrier mix named Scruffy, and the other was a little Boston Terrier named Abigail. And they were 8 and 12 when we adopted them. And we thought we would have the 12-year-old guy for, you know, a year or two, but he actually lived to be 20. Broke our grad school bank accounts. How about you, Becca?
Yeah, actually, my first dog that was ever my dog, I got him when I was a teenager. His name was Winston. He was an ancient little tiny poodle thing. He was like white curly. He literally lived in a crib in my room. I used to paint his fingernails. And so he was my first dog that I took care of, but he was maybe 15 when I got him.
Wow. Well, you know, our listeners didn't tune in just to hear from us. So let's hear from Crystal, who shares about her relationships with several dogs.
Hi, my name is Crystal, and this is my story. I feel a special connection to animals. They understand me, and I understand them. For a long time, I had not had friends. People don't always understand me. They look at me like I am stupid. In high school, I volunteered at an animal shelter when I saw old dogs no one else wanted to adopt. I felt that they should have a home. One day, our animal shelter had a Bissell Empty the Shelter event. All the dogs got adopted, except for one old dog, Fidget, who would not stop barking. I asked if I could take her to the play yard. She stopped barking right away and ran around a bit, then looked at me with her beautiful brown eyes, as if to say, "Are you going to adopt me?" So I took her home, and within 5 minutes, she caught a mouse. It was hilarious because the mouse ran right past our two cats, who've never tried to catch mice. Fidget went to heaven about a year later. Then I noticed a little chihuahua who could not hear or see. He only had 3 teeth, and his fur was apricot color, what was left of it. He was so old that he only had little patches of fur. He was just laying there, looking sad and lonely. So I adopted him too. When we took him to our vet to see what we could do to help him, he did not have a name, so the vet suggested we name him Tommy, after Tommy the Pinbar Wizard. I have never heard that song before, so the vet played the song, blasting it at top volume. Tommy did not live long, but I think I made him happy. After Tommy went to heaven, I adopted Izzy. She was a bit younger than the other two, but someone had kicked her in the head, and she lost an eye and some teeth. She was supposed to be a long-haired dachshund, but really she just was brown fuzz with lots of missing fur. Her nickname was Lizard Tongue because her tongue hung out where there was no teeth to hold it in. When Izzy went to heaven, I cried the hardest. I believe every dog deserves a home, especially if they are old. I figured my mom and dad adopted me and gave me a home when no one else would. So I should have just adopted these ones that no one else wanted. I have a Labrador now named Cole. He was unique. Because all of the rest of his little mates were reddish blonde, he is black as Cole. My dogs are my fur babies and still my only friends. I know I will see my friends again because, of course, all dogs go to heaven.
What I love about Crystal's story is that you can picture her dogs as she's describing them. Her descriptions are so detailed. You can tell the care and love and relationship that she had with each of these animals that as she's describing them, I can picture their little tongues hanging out, right? And I think it's a real indication of what her story is about seeing the value and the beauty in everyone and everything, especially those people and those animals that often get overlooked.
Yeah, and there's no doubt in my mind that Crystal is providing the absolute best home. And I think it is really special that she can relate to these dogs because she was adopted herself. And that's something my own adopted son has made some connections to in our household as well with our adopted pet animals.
Yeah. And, you know, I think a lot of the times when we're talking about disabled people and their relationships to animals, people immediately just think of like service animals, right? Animals that are doing something for or with a disabled person.
But service animals are actually pretty rare. A 2023 NIH report tells us that of the 61 million disabled people in the United States, only 1% are paired up with an actual service animal, one that's trained to do daily tasks and be like a working dog.
Yeah, right. And so while it's definitely important to keep in mind those relationships with those working animals, it's just as important to remember that, like the rest of the population, disabled people have all sorts of kinds of relationships with non-human animals. And, you know, there isn't a whole lot of research about this, but there is one systematic review that I found from 2016 that said that when people with intellectual disabilities engage in what's sometimes called animal-assisted therapy, there seem to be like a lot of good positive results from that. And we're starting to get more and more research that shows that these animal relationships are important in a lot of ways. In fact, there was one study that was led by a woman named Janet Hoy Gerlach, who at the time was actually a professor at our very own University of Toledo, that published the first empirical study in 2021 that shows the positive effects of emotional support animals, specifically for people who are experiencing significant mental illness, that support animals can help with things like loneliness and anxiety and depression. So that's just a quick shout out to some of our great colleagues at UT.
Yeah, and I think many of us with pets can relate to how our animals help us with loneliness, anxiety, and depression. But in some ways, it can be more difficult to have a pet in your home if you are disabled. So things like access to transportation to get your pet to and from the vet, or the cost of veterinary care can really inhibit one's ability to really care for a pet. At least that's what a 2022 article from the Journal of Veterinary Education tells us in relation to pet owners who are deaf or hard of hearing.
Yeah, and that doesn't even take into account things like if you have a strict landlord, or if you live in a group home, or if you have a co-housing situation that doesn't allow pets. And so there's lots of barriers here. But even so, I think we can see from both of our storytellers today that there are these opportunities to form these really meaningful relationships with non-human animals. And so we want to turn to our second storyteller, right? So tell us who's up next.
So our next storyteller is a returner, Jordan. He's told us about his experience working at the Toledo Zoo in Ohio. And he references that experience again here, as well as some other friends a little closer to home. Let's listen.
If you got some tissues, well, this is going to be a tearjerker. You see me as an outgoing, nothing gets by me or through me, all that stuff, like Nick Wilde, but deep down, when something hits very hard, like take it from me, it leaves a tear in the whole of your soul, like a gut punch there. For me, it happened when I came home from the zoo, being a zoo team back then, but now I'm an alumni. I was home alone, and it was all quiet. Then there was that nasty... I was, like, looking around to see nothing's out of place, but then I noticed the nasty stench is coming from upstairs. And when I head upstairs, and there was a sign I wish I could never unsee. One of my old dogs was having a seizure, and I've seen seizures on a person before, but on an animal, it's just very hard. You can't see the dog's pupils. It was all black, like pitch black. My first reaction was to call my mom, and I just stuck by her. It's just the most painful experience ever. When she came up, I carried her for the last time to the car, and I know that, well, she didn't make it, so we had to get her cremated. It's hard to talk about it. I cleaned up the messes the best I could, so it's hard. I mean, I love animals. Like, I feel like a deep connection, like Tarzan or George of the Jungle. They're like family members, a dog, a cat, a lizard, a bird, whatever animal you choose. No judgment there. My last cat, Pancake, my mom told me that she passed away in her sleep. Or in a way, she took a nap, never woke up. But the thing is, there's nothing wrong with her. She can't see or hear, but she gets around. She knows her way around the whole house just by feeling. It's like a blind person. The thing is, she was 23 years old. I'm no joking. Not bad for a kitty. She was like about 5 pounds. But the difference is between, you know, the time is coming for that specific family member. You're like, yeah, it's hard. But unexpected, it's different. Well, the last one we had was Mora. She was a Sky Terrier, purebred. She just turned 13. I noticed something was off. But this took place at my new place in Waterville. My mom picked her up and I petted her, and unaware this is the last time I get to see her. This happened in June when my parents came back from the vet and my folks took a long walk, and I knew Moore was not with us anymore. Since then, we have no cats and dogs or dogs. But we still have a potbelly pig who is still being a teenage drama queen. Yeah, but that's nothing compared to the biggest breakdown of my life. Is if you heard of the gorilla incident at the Cincinnati Zoo on May 28th, 2016, a kid fell in the gorilla enclosure and they tried everything, but they had no choice. They had to. The gorilla's name is Harambe. He was a silverback. He was trying to help, but they couldn't understand him. It's just really hard. I just broke down. It just hits me. Where's the justice in the world? Because I was like, I'm an emotional train wreck. So to pay homage, I wrote a memorial on a folding cardboard. It looked like you see those doing open houses. Well, the wound is still there. The only way to fix that hole is just to go to the Cincinnati Zoo and go to the gorilla enclosure, find that specific statue. If not, I had to find a way to pay homage to him and say, see you soon, big buddy. And then on February 5th, 2020, this is during the pandemic. If you remember Monty, he was the friendliest Burmese python at the Toledo Zoo. He had kidney or liver issues, so all the employees and the volunteers were there, and I was one of the few people who carried him, probably the first and last time. I mean, don't get me wrong, Monty's been very around, but then they had to euthanize him. But Before that, we lost Sam and Lou like a few years ago. There were our Indian rhinos, but strange is, during a cloudy day, I looked up and I see there is like a cloud formation. It looks like a rhino. And I know that Sam and Lou are doing just fine up there, so I ask other Bill and Liz just to see Robin. Bless her heart, she's a great zookeeper at the Timbo Trail, so I let her know that I saw Sam and Lou in the clouds, so I know they're doing just fine. And then that same thing happened again, but with Monty, there was a cloud formation that looks just like a snake. It just slithers into the clouds. It just looks at me like, I knew it had to be Monty. It looks like, thanks for the nice memory. So he just like vanishes into the clouds. And that's how I started the legend of the cloud animals at the Toledo Zoo. So how do I deal with it? I just want to be alone, take a walk, listen to the music, or any way how to express it, but in a good way, but not all bad, but it just happens. I want everyone to know, like, you're not alone when you're handling something close or something that's dear to you. So my advice, just ask someone, like your folks, your friends, or someone from your small village or community, just talk it out. Take it from me.
I think this story is so beautiful, and I really appreciate how vulnerable Jordan is in telling this story about the grief that he experiences losing these animals. And, you know, we've talked on the show before about how people with developmental disabilities may experience complicated or unresolved grief for a lot of reasons. And that gets compounded around these non-human losses. You know, there's been quite a lot of recent attention to the fact that losing a pet or an animal companion can lead to prolonged grief and hard to resolve grief for a lot of people, not just people with disabilities.
Yeah, and I appreciate that one of his messages here is to take the time to grieve for these non-human animal relationships, even if those around you don't quite understand the loss.
Yeah, I really love that we've gotten to dive into these topics. I think both of these stories are such good reminders that we can have meaningful relationships, and we need to think about those relationships really broadly. It's not just about people, right? And we got to take these relationships seriously and allow people the opportunity to cultivate the relationships with the humans and the non-humans that they want to.
As we end, I want to thank our contributors, Jordan and Crystal, and our associate producer, Connor Smenner, and our Telling It Our Way advisory board members, Jarita Fox, Quinn Thomas, and Gavin Daly.
And special thanks to WGTE and our producer, Chris Pfeiffer.
Access our transcripts for this show and any other show notes. Visit WGTE.org/Our Way.
I'm Allie Day.
And I'm Becca Monteleone. And you've been listening to Telling It Our Way.
WGTE. Voices around us.